Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network, and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. The king of content, Sumner Redstone, media empire builder in the battle for Viacom and CBS, scandal, sex, corporate intrigue, the true inside story of a corporate soap opera with the Wall Street Journal reporter covering large media companies. All of that tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Keech Hagee is the Wall Street Journal beat reporter for Viacom, where she's broken stories on everything from Redstone's mental capacity test to his attempts to buy his daughter out of his media empire. And her team's coverage of the power struggle at Viacom won a Best in Business Award from the Society of American Business Editors and Writers. And prior to the Journal, she covered media at Politico and The Village Voice. And the book just out, pretty timely. In fact, the king of content, Sumner Redstone's battle for Viacom, CBS, and everlasting control of his media empire. Welcome, Keats. Good to talk to you.
Good to be here.
All right, you've been working on this for 3 years, and the timing ends up perfect.
So many people have told me, you finished a book a little too soon because there's this crazy fight going on right now. You're going to have to add an extra chapter.
Well, you can do that for the paperback version.
Exactly.
Okay, how's Sumner Redstone doing right now?
Well, not that well. Yeah. He's in very ill health. He can't talk. He can't eat or write.
Wow.
He can only really communicate in grunts. We do know that he has an iPad loaded with clips of his voice attached to buttons, such as yes, no, and FU.
By the way, Keith, I think you had an article yesterday in the Journal which says that the National Amusements, which is a holding company trust, says that really Sumner has the only vote that counts, and you just said he's a complete vegetable almost.
Well, that's been the tension at the heart of this battle for quite some time. Now, National Amusements will say, well, he's the sole vote of the National Amusement, of his 80% of National Amusements. His daughter, Sherry, owns 20%, mm-hmm. and that it's the total board of National Amusements that votes on whether they should, for example, sell the biggest companies that they own, CBS or Viacom. But you point to a core tension that over now 3 years of legal battling hasn't gone away.
We'll talk some sex later, but this is a corporate governance scandal, and you go through all this stuff, whether it's the compensation for Sumner, keeping Moonves on, CBS trying to strip National Amusements of its majority share control, Sumner having that sole vote. Do you see that this is a corporate governance scandal?
Absolutely it is. And the real scandal at the heart of it, and I must say, Sumner legally has not been declared incapacitated, mm-hmm. but no one has seen or heard from him outside of a very small circle in years. And in fact, in his current legal fight, one of his longtime friends that went over to visit him took a video of him to try to document his medical condition in January. And now, of course, they're fighting about whether to release that to the public. It's been submitted to the court. But the fact that that was even an act that was considered damning, I think, tells you a lot about his current situation. And that has been a situation for quite some time. So So the question is, all the people around Sumner Redstone who knew this, who knew that this was his condition, what did they do when they had that knowledge? That's the core question going back at least 3 years, and it doesn't really reflect particularly well on anyone in the empire.
No, and in fact, I'm always interested. You notice that when the CEOs or whatever needed Sumner to be competent, he was, and when they needed him to be incompetent, he was.
It's amazing. What you see from one lawsuit to the next is people saying, oh, he was completely competent until 6 weeks ago. He was competent until 2 weeks ago. The minute after he made this very key decision that was advantageous for me, he lost it completely. One of his former companions basically made that argument. And then the former CEO of Viacom, Philippe Demon, made that same argument, which is just, you know, it's strange.
Sleazy. And recently it's come out that the CBS COO, Iannella, who is supposed to be Moonves' successor, they used some kind of secret text capability to try to get the board members to seize power from National Amusements.
Yes. So they had this disappearing text app, Tiger Text.
Tiger Text.
You know, which was driving me, you know, now that there's litigation going on, of course, the whole point of discovery is to find those email messages back and forth, and they had if the key communication for plotting what Sherry Redstone and National Amusements is alleging as a coup is disappearing, it's very challenging. They have recovered some of those messages. I guess the disappearing text wasn't that disappearing. And you see the number two over there at CBS, Joe Iannello, sort of expressing how much he wants to be the number one. At least that's, you know, what National Amusements is claiming. We yet have not seen the text because they're still redacted.
Let me ask you this. When they split off Viacom and CBS, Viacom was to be the growth engine and CBS more of a utility, like a dividend stock. It's ended up the reverse. Is that, in your mind, because of Les Moonves' talent?
In good measure, yes. I mean, he is an extremely talented programming executive. He did an amazing job turning the CBS network around from last place to first place. He is excellent at talking to Wall Street, managing expectations, squeezing money out of those local TV stations and reverse compensation, what we like to call it, but it's basically getting a taste of the cable bill that we're all paying every month, even though you know, CBS is a free broadcast network. So he has been a great operator. Also, what happened outside of whatever he did is that around the time that CBS and Viacom split in 2006, the landscape shifted, and pay TV, the 500-channel cable bundle, slowed in growth, and the advertising on cable also slowed. So there was a big secular change that came and just walloped Viacom then, and it really started to wallop it in 2011 with the rise of Netflix, and it's never recovered.
All right, let's return for a second to corporate governance. Six women accused Les Moonves of sexual harassment. Why is he still in office?
Well, he is very powerful. He is beloved by many in Hollywood, and CBS has announced that they are doing an investigation. They've hired a law firm, et cetera, et cetera. They say that they're taking it seriously, but you'll notice you do not see a lot of people from the creative community coming out and criticizing Moonves. In fact, you've seen a few women from inside the empire support him, not a vast number, but a few, and then kind of a crouched wait-and-see attitude from everyone else. And the reason is because, you know, if you come for the king, you better not miss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people are worried that if he survives this, which every bit of his posture makes it seem like he thinks he's going to, that they're toast if they come out against him.
That leads into a good part. Sorry to interrupt. The harassment is bad enough, but he's alleged to have blocked their careers and sort of destroyed them that way. That strikes me as even worse, almost.
And he vehemently denies that part of the New Yorker story, where those core accusations are. However, you know, we've done reporting on this, and there will be more, that even setting aside sex or sexual advances, the entire culture of CBS is one of intense loyalty and retribution. And if you cross Les Moonves, you're dead to him.
Was that known, by the way, generally?
I would say that they have they have had this sort of mafioso swagger that they have worn very proudly for a long time. Because, you know, this is Hollywood. It's hardcore deal making. You do want people to fear you a little bit. And in years of very positive profiles of Les Moonves, this has always been sprinkled in as sort of a good thing. You know, he's an old school operator. He's incredibly effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he demands loyalty. Got him across him, ha-ha. But now that these accusations are out there, all of that takes on a slightly different cast.
Do you think that the fact that these were from the 1980s, he should get some slack?
I think that's absolutely part of what people are grappling with right now. The accusations are very old, and in addition to the ones in the New Yorker, there is a separate Los Angeles Police Department investigation for women who also came forward with an accusation from the 80s. So I think that there is a cultural moment right now where people in Hollywood are saying, does every one of these accusations have to be career-ending? Is there no gradation of, you know, Harvey Weinstein on one end and some other people somewhere else? So that is completely going on, separate from his power, and it is real, because none of the accusations, with the exception of the one from the Los Angeles police, were filed at the time. You know, there were no complaints. There were no settlements, which, you know, makes it very, very hard to report and also to judge.
And we'll say that investigation from 1986 with the LAPD, Moonves says he told the board, and the board claims not to have known about it, which to me is more board shenanigans. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station nearest you, listen to our podcast, and we'll be back with our second segment with Keach Sumner's Deals.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Keech Hagee, Wall Street Journal beat reporter for large media companies. And I find it very fascinating that National Amusements was this small little thing that ended up devouring Viacom. Give a little history on the drive-in theaters, where they sort of started, and there were even some mob links.
Yep. So National Amusements was a drive-in theater chain started by Sumner Redstone's father, Mickey Redstone, and his silent partner, Harry Doc Sagansky, who was a very famous bookie in Boston, who had a very long career in organized crime, is out of prison various times, had ties with some of the more colorful characters in Boston history. And Mickey and Doc founded a drive-in theater in 1938 in Valley Stream, New York, called the Sunrise Drive-In. And that was the beginning of what really became National Amusements. It became a regional theater chain throughout the Northeast in the 40s, and through those years, there were even more colorful connections with other underground figures. And in the 50s, Sumner came to the family business, joined his brother and father, who had been there now for enough years to make a dozen theater chain, and expanded the thing much bigger. And for an entire career, Sumner was just a regional theater chain executive. They turned the drive-ins into indoor theaters, and he had what would have been a completely fine career. But in the late 70s, he had started investing in media stocks. He was interested in the stock market, made a lot of money doing that, and decided in the 80s that he was going to take over Viacom, which at that time was sort of a not that well-known cable company and syndication company that had been spun off from CBS in the 70s. And through some financial engineering, he was able to attack the current management, who were trying their own leverage buyout, and use the equity of National Amusements to take over a company many times larger than National Amusements and control it.
I want to talk about
that to go on to do many more conquests.
I want to talk about that in more detail. But first, I want to hear, because this is the famous incident, the impact of the fire at the Copley Plaza in Boston. And you also had information there I didn't know.
Sumner Redstone loves to tell the story of the Copley Plaza fire in 1979 and considers this the most formative event in his life. He opens his autobiography with this scene where he was there for an industry event, still a regional theater executive. He wakes up to the smell of smoke, tries to go to the window, it won't open, flame. He goes to the door of the hotel room, and at that was a terrible mistake, and the flames just burst into his room. He tries to go out the window. He eventually finds a window that opens and ends up hanging out it, counting to 10 over and over again as the flames are singeing his hand. He was eventually rescued by the fire department, but with burns over 45% of his body, he barely survived and was crippled in his hand and down his legs for the rest of his life. And he uses this story as sort of an example of how he could live through anything. This is what made him believe he could live forever, something he would say many times in the future. And it really changed his outlook. And shortly after that, he decided he was no longer satisfied to be a regional theater executive. And he began to go for bigger targets. However, what the book shows is that that night in the hotel room, he was not alone. He, in fact, was there with his mistress of more than a decade at that point, Delsa Weiner. And people in Boston sort of knew and suspected for many years that there was a woman that night. But as I was doing research for the book, I found that it was really there in plain sight that she was with him. It was in news footage the next day that they were both climbing down this ladder, and her name was in the newspaper the next day of the list of casualties. So for many years, the Redstones kept this fact, because it was kind of a key part of the lore, hidden. And it started to squeak out under other names about 10 years ago. And the book has new information about that and about how they were that night. They were in a room adjoining another couple, another man who was there with someone who was not his wife. And that couple died in the fire.
Wow. Which is, so did you uncover this?
People knew that there was a woman.
Yes.
But she'd never been named before, and no one knew that there was an adjoining room, or that it seemed like they were all being entertained together, perhaps
without their wives.
That night.
What was the deal with his wife Phyllis? I mean, how did she hang in for so long?
Phyllis and Sumner have a very strange relationship. They're both alive to this day, and they were married for 52 years. Phyllis got married young. I think the way that some people explain it is that Sumner had a very overbearing mother and had trouble saying no to women in his life. And it was not a perfect marriage, but that they had some core bonds that made it so that even though he was philandering through basically their entire marriage, they hung together. Part of that core bond was, of course, the wealth.
Right.
Because various times they would sue each other for divorce and then yank the papers at the last minute because Sumner had a big deal on the table, and he would go back and say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." It was never a good time to get divorced, because in Massachusetts, the wife can take half the assets, which for someone who has a family business means the possible loss of control.
The Viacom thing, did they pay too much? And I found it interesting, because I'd forgotten this, or maybe didn't know it, that they bought Blockbuster to get their cash flow, but that was like a ridiculous acquisition from a strategic point of view.
Absolutely. So for Viacom, they did not pay too much, because the value of cable just went through the roof over the next decade or so, as more and more people put cable TV in their homes. But the next big acquisition was Paramount in 1994, and there are many people out there who believe that they overpaid for Paramount. It was bid up in a bidding war. It cost $10 billion before they were all finished, and depending upon how you look at it, they never really made that money back, especially because in order to win that bidding war against Barry Diller and John Malone, these fearsome media moguls, they did have to do sort of a shotgun wedding with Blockbuster, which by then was already sort of past its sell-by date. This was 1994. It was a household name, but everyone could see that the videotape was going to be overtaken by some kind of streaming to the home.
We don't have much time in this segment. I want to ask, because I didn't really know these numbers either. Sumner got entranced by, I guess, video games, bought Midway Games, spent $800 million, including on margin, that left them exposed, and then sold it for $100,000.
It's extraordinary. His advisors said that the reason to do this was to book a loss for taxes, basically. That this is the solution. But Midway was a debacle. It hadn't made a profit in years when he started really ramping up his investment. It never did, and his daughter begged him to stop investing in it, and he refused. And all of his advisors around him backed him, and this was the roots of the breakdown of the father-daughter relationship. I mean, there were many cracks here and there, but this was really the thing that broke it. He ended up being sued by other shareholders in Midway because he sort of forced the thing to go bankrupt by selling it for so little money to some random person. The whole thing was just a total disaster. And because of the margin part, he imperiled his holdings of CBS and Viacom, because he used that that as collateral against some of the borrowing he did to buy the Midway shares. So it was in for a brilliant career, it was a very black mark.
Listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell, flagship stations, WGCH Greenwich, WIBC Yale Radio. We'll talk about Sumner's women next.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solutions Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solutions Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Biz Talk Radio.
The king of content, Sumner Redstone's battle for Viacom, CBS, and everlasting control of his media. That's our guest, Keech Hagee. He's just written the book, and as you have a chapter, Sumner, Sex, and Steak. What do you mean by that?
Sumner Redstone lived with two women half his age for the last recent years of his life. And you know, one of those women was placed there by an escort agency, and the other one was a longtime friend, and they sort of worked in tandem to keep him comfortable. One of them was his girlfriend, the other one just kind of managed the show. And for a while, this strange arrangement worked, but it kept the family on the outside. And at a certain point, one of the girlfriends confessed that she'd been cheating on him, was kicked out of the mansion. Within a month, the other one was gone too. And that second one, Manuela Herzer, turned around and filed a lawsuit in 2015, right at the moment where everyone in the investment world was wondering, what is happening with Sumner? And what she said was happening with Sumner was he was completely incapacitated. He was obsessed with eating steak and having sex daily, despite the fact that he had a feeding tube and had to be carried from room to room.
Jesus.
And was totally incontinent. And, couldn't follow the thread of a conversation or even the plot of a CNBC show. And this was the first moment that the wider world got a glimpse of what was going on inside that mansion in Beverly Hills, and it wasn't pretty.
And
it had major implications for the company.
Wasn't Sumner propped up to kick off quarterly calls?
So about a year before that was the last time that he had been heard from on an earnings call. And I think earlier that year, there was an earnings call where he'd been carried onto stage, put in front of a table, and then the curtains had been closed, and the curtains were open to have him, you know, sitting there already at the table, and then they were closed again, and he was carried off. That was the last time investors laid eyes on Sumner, which, you know, didn't inspire a ton of confidence. And he would be on calls a little bit more after that with a very faint voice, you know, just introducing the call, saying, you know, wisest man I've ever known, Philippe Dumont. and people were really concerned that there was a Weekend at Bernie's situation going on, and Manuela Herzer's lawsuit made that clear.
So was it clear the motives of these two women was gold diggers? And he gave them a ton of money, right? Or he wrote them into the will for a ton of money?
He gave them $150 million between the two of them, which is a truly breathtaking sum. And the thing about Sumner is from all of my reporting, I believe that he really wanted to give these women that money. That represented his actual desires. They weren't very attractive desires, the fact that he wanted to keep his family out and give his money to these women. And the family has argued, well, you know, the women manipulated him and whispered into his ear and berated him and sort of brainwashed him into wanting these things. And, you will never fully get to the bottom of that. It's so hard to know what's manipulation and what's not. But it's clear that that is what he wanted. He just supposedly changed his mind after he found out that they were not true to him.
So let's talk about, as she's referred to initially, as Sumner in a Skirt. That's Sherry Redstone, who battled her father on and off, who, by the way, I see from your book, went to Tough 75. I was Tough 77. How did she get herself back in to take control of all this and with these women who were against her?
It took the women's departure from the mansion, her father's mansion, for her to reconcile with her father. And the funny thing about the battle between Sherry and the women is that we see in litigation, like after the fact, that Sherry and her children had been trying very hard for months to get rid of the women. They had formed alliances with the nurses in the mansion who were passing them information, and they had hired a private investigator to look into the women. They were doing everything they could to figure out a way to get rid of these women, which you can kind of understand for various reasons, if you were the family, why you would want to do that. But in the end, it really wasn't her actions that got rid of the women. It was one of the women's stupidity, frankly, having an affair with another man, which then got her thrown out of the mansion. And how that led to the departure of the second one is always in great dispute. But basically, the second one wasn't very popular with the household staff, mm-hmm. and they sort of staged a mutiny against her. And she argues that that was completely Sherry driven, but they also just didn't like her, so they got together and got her out of there.
Where do you come down on whether Sumner thinks Sherry is actually competent to run the whole deal or not? He seemed to go back and forth on that himself, right?
Yeah, that's right. Their entire relationship is one of negotiation and horse trading. It's a very strange father-daughter relationship. The thing about Sherry is she went to work at National Amusements, the theater chain, just like her father did, and she worked her way through the organization just like he did, in preparation for taking on the mantle of successor. And in 2002, he called her a great business executive, like father, like daughter. And they would fight about the business in subsequent years, about Midway, as we discussed, about whether they should sell the theater. She wanted to keep the theaters, and he thought they were dead. And it was in the midst of this fighting that he would then declare, oh, she doesn't have the business judgment. I've decided I want to turn my empire over to professional management, which basically is like his lawyers that were going to run the show in conjunction with her after he died. I would say that he told everyone around him kind of nasty things about her business judgment in the final years. But so much of that was colored by the women being close to him and was colored by their fights. So I don't think that he wanted her running the empire, frankly, from every bit of evidence that's out there. But, whether his decision should really be the final one, we'll see.
During this period when he's out there and declining and stuff, his eye really goes off the ball. Is he kind of responsible for sort of missing the digital strategy and the decline of MTV, the stock tanking? Is that the management's fault? Is it just the trends were unbeatable?
I think that even the smartest executive in the world running a legacy media company starting in 2005, 2006, 2007 would have had a really hard time. In the book, I do sort of walk through all the missed opportunities that Viacom had in particular, flirting, almost being able to buy Facebook and not buying it, and trying to buy MySpace, yeah. which ended up sort of bad, and not buying it. So it is sort of fun to play that game. But the truth is, Mark Zuckerberg wasn't going to sell Facebook to anybody. That was really clear. So Sumner did not understand digital and was unwilling to pay the kind of prices that needed to be paid for mm-hmm. growing startups in the mid-2000s that could have made the company, bazillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. But nor was anyone else. You know what I mean? There was no other media mogul out there who was able to stomach that kind of purchase either, although I guess Rupert Murdoch did manage to snatch MySpace away from him. But I would say that really it was the secular issues that were bigger than what anyone could have foreseen.
Okay. What about, does he have the power now to block a spin out of either part of Paramount or all of it? Is that going on?
So I would argue that Sumner absolutely does have the power because he owns 80% of National Amusements, mm-hmm. he himself. And that is... Over what he has the power to replace the entire National Amusements Board. So if he was truly present with us mentally, he would have the power to block a merger of CBS and Viacom, to block a spin out of Paramount completely. The question, of course, is he with us?
Okay, we got a minute to go on this. What is your opinion on CBS's effort to dilute his share from control of CBS from 80% to 20%?
I think it would be extraordinary if a Delaware court, which is where this is going to be heard in October, decides to strip a controlling shareholder of its controlling share, because that would have implications that would stretch to Facebook, to Google, to my own employer, News Corp, to all these companies that have dual-tiered stock structure. That said, in the revelations that we had published in the Wall Street Journal this week, which is that there are restrictions from the National Amusement Trust on what they can do with CBS and Viacom, it does make the argument, CBS's argument, maybe a little stronger, that it's not in shareholders' interest to have a controlling shareholder that is so, you know, opaque, and maybe it's not shareholder friendly.
It's interesting. In all these machinations, I never see the shareholder as the focus, which, of course, is what's supposed to be their fiduciary responsibility. We'll come back from our final national segment with Keech Hagee right after this.
Paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill. Pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
You love your car, and so does CarChecks. We're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and have been helping people avoid spending a fortune in costly car repair bills for almost 20 years. For about $2.50 a day, you get the peace of mind in knowing that your expensive repair bills may be covered by a vehicle protection plan. Think about if your air conditioner or the transmission goes out. That could cost you a few $1,000s. Or you can get protected with Car Checks and pay only a standard deductible. For about $2.50 a day, you can make sure you don't get stuck with the bill for covered repairs. Keep your car in tip-top shape. For a completely free quote, call Car Checks now at 800-958-5207. 800-958-5207. That's 800-958-5207. Or visit getprotected.com. That's getprotected.com.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate limescale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Biz Talk Radio.
Back with Wall Street Journal media reporter Keech Hagee. First off, what do you think of, you talk about Sherry as being the first female media mogul, and she's an operator and an owner as well. Do you think she'll be successful ultimately? Would you predict that, and that she'll maintain control?
I'm a betting person. I do believe that Sherry Redstone will maintain control because it would just be such an extraordinary thing if her family were stripped of their voting control. Whether she'll be successful is a different matter because the thing that was handed to her is in such trouble.
Yeah.
CBS is doing okay, but Viacom is really not. The management there is executing a turnaround, and that their earnings this week were actually, they showed real signs of the strategy going in the right direction, but you also saw just the enormous pressure of cord cutting on this company, and there's really, even the smartest person, there's nothing that they can really do about that. So I think it's going to be very hard in a media landscape where everyone else has already kind of merged for them to find a buyer for CBS and Viacom in the long term. I mean, there's not that many buyers out there. So it's going to be very challenging for her to get value for her shareholders.
I'll ask you some predictions now in this media space. First, do you predict Viacom and CBS will be reunited?
I think so. I think that makes a lot of sense in the long term. I think that's what most analysts expect. It's just a question of sooner or later. I think that you need scale in the consolidating media world. And as I said, there are not that many buyers out there. So it makes sense to try to combine your assets now and then go out hunting because maybe there are only one or two left.
Is there somebody that can run it?
Well, there was a time when it seemed like Sherry wanted Bob Bakish, the CEO of Viacom, to potentially run the whole thing because Les Moonves is 68 years old. This is a fact that gets lost amid all the Me Too allegations, but that he is near the end of his career, past the end of what would be many people's career. There are some thoughts that the Dick Parsons, who came on the board recently, the old Time Warner CEO, he came on CBS's board recently, and he's sort of there to guide the process of maybe finding someone new to run CBS. So he's extremely well-respected, and people close to him might also be in the running.
The AT&T, Time Warner, and Disney Fox matches, you predict they'll be successful?
I don't really understand
the logic.
The whole logic of the AT&T, Time Warner matchup.
Interesting.
I understand the idea of scale, but the actual business model of getting more value and synergies out of that, I remain pretty skeptical that that is going to work out for AT&T for a lot of the reasons that they argued in court when they were being sued by the Justice Department. It doesn't make sense for them to sell to themselves more cheaply and others more expensively because it hurts the revenue of Time Warner. So I'm skeptical about that one. Fox and Disney, I think, makes a ton of sense. That's just a typical horizontal merger.
Yeah.
And I do think it's going to help Disney compete against the rise of Netflix in the future. There's some really great assets in Fox. And we'll see what becomes of New Fox, as they call it, the sort of slimmer companies focused on news and sports. I think there's a chance it could be okay.
Is content still king? And do you think that Netflix, Apple, Google, Amazon are going to be the ultimate winners over all of this stuff?
Content is still king. You see from Netflix's evolving strategy how important that is, right? They have really won because they've put their strategy into their own original content and gone out and found the very best producers, the very best writers, and made great shows and great movies. And that has driven their incredible subscriber growth over the last few years. So content is still king. The question is, do you need to buy a studio or one of these old content machines, mm-hmm. or can you make your own? And what we're seeing right now is that the big tech companies have decided, you know what, we can just make our own. We don't need to buy one of these old things. So there's no graceful exit for a lot of these old media companies. Their talent can just be sort of sucked away out from underneath them, which is what Netflix has been doing. I see no evidence right now that they're not going to emerge the winners. But, you know, things can change on the regulatory front and things can change. But right now, yeah, they're crushing everybody.
And okay, so you think the old guys will lose out is what you're saying, wouldn't you?
I do.
Wow, so that means the stock value is not something that's great. Do you think, now Sherry and Moonves don't get along now, obviously. So if Moonves is not chucked out and the Viacom and CBS are put together, what does that mean for Moonves? And does Sherry have the power, I assume, to put the number one guy in there? Or?
I cannot imagine that Moonves will be in that job in a year,
okay,
regardless of what happens. Even if, you know, he's found completely innocent of the Me Too and everything else. I mean, he sued his controlling shareholder. That is not going to result in him being there for much longer. I expect him to walk away with a pile of money at some point in the next year. But that's just a guess. Sherry does have the power to put the companies together and to put her guy on top, assuming she does it, you know, goes through all the steps in a shareholder-friendly manner, which has been the trouble up to now.
Do you think that, what would you say happens to National Amusements itself, the holding company? Is that going to, if they're able to find somebody to buy them out, it just dissolves? Or?
Well, it's funny that there had been a theory that maybe her plan was to actually sell National Amusements itself, right, rather than have the two companies. But some of the revelations that have come forward this week, some of the even reporting that we've broken, shows that that's going to be much harder than people think, that there are restrictions in the trust, not just on who they can sell to, but how much of National Amusements they can sell. So I think, as Sumner's Trust is written, I think that National Amusements will continue to be around as an entity. It just might own different stocks than it does today.
Okay, last few seconds here. How do you come down on Sumner and his, his media legacy after you've spent all the 3 years going through it?
I think that Sumner's media legacy was to see the opportunity in disruption. He saw that movies were going to be disrupted by cable, and he saw it before other people, and he saw how video games were a very promising thing that was maybe going to disrupt cable. He was able to build things by not being sentimental about the old media and by using antitrust law in a very, very clever way. So I think that these are lessons that media folks today could really learn from, especially his use of litigation in antitrust law to win business battles. I think that we're going to be seeing probably more of that as the titans of tech clash against the old media folks in coming years.
Great stuff. You got corporate and sex scandals all in one book. Thanks to Keech Hagee, Wall Street Journal reporter, and her book, The King of Content, Sumner Redstone's Battle for Viacom, CBS, and Everlasting Control of His Media Empire. Thanks to Keech. Thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio,